Hello there. Gabba gabba hey.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Monty A. Melnick, for being on this live call-in show. We're celebrating Joey Ramone's birthday. So thank you again for coming and spending an hour with us.
Happy birthday, Joey. He was born on May 19th. It's a little pre-celebration for him. I also want to make sure everybody knows that a lot of they should really donate to the Joey Ramone Foundation for Lymphoma Research, lymphoma.org. So that would be good if they could do that.
Yes. Yeah, it's amazing to have you on the show. I've interviewed you before, but I can't put your book down, On the Road with the Ramones. And I have the bonus edition, and I love artwork. And it's just amazing. I know it's available. It's on Amazon, and where can they pick it up at?
Basically, Amazon worldwide. The artwork, by the way, is done by John Holmstrom, the great from Punk Magazine. He did the cover for me.
Yes, yeah. I know it. On the book, it actually says Monty A. Melnick and Frank Meyer. And I think that Frank Meyer also did a book with, I think, Van Halen. Is that correct?
Yes. He's out right now touring with Handsome Dick Manitoba. He also has a group of his own, the Streetwalking Cheetahs. And he's a huge Ramones fan. Initially, I wanted to get a ghostwriter, and they brought him along. But he did such a great job, I gave him co-writing on the book.
Wow, that's amazing. I know, so you'll have to help us reminisce here with Joey Ramone. Like you said, his birthday is next week, and his original name was Jeffrey Hyman. I never met him, but I know that you knew him really well. And he had a lot of influences in his life. Every time I pick up your book, I learn something new about him. But he actually started out as a little kid on the drums. Isn't that correct?
Yes. He was in a couple of groups as a drummer.
Wow, that's amazing.
The first thing he played. Yeah. And actually, the first time in the Ramones, when Tommy brought the Ramones in to perform in studios, just to manage them and produce them, there were a three-piece group.
Okay.
Actually, the first time they played was March 1974 in Performance Studios as a three-piece group. And Joey was on drums at that time, and Dee Dee playing bass and singing, and Johnny on guitar. But that only lasted a very short time because Dee Dee was having trouble singing and playing bass at the same time. So, and Tommy heard that Joey had a really great voice, so he pulled him off drums to become the lead singer.
Wow, it's amazing. I think we have a caller in the queue. I think Richard, a friend of yours, might be on the line.
Okay.
Hello, guys. How are you? It's Richard Adler.
Hi, Monty. Hey, Richie. How's it going, man?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Okay. This is one of the original Tangerine Puppets, which is a group that Tommy was in.
Oh, wow.
Johnny
That's cool.
Yeah, Tommy and Johnny were in it.
Yeah. Johnny was playing bass in the group, and Tommy was on guitar, right?
That's right. Yep.
Actually, I saw you guys out in Forest Hills High School at the talent show, 1966, I believe.
That's right. And you want to hear something funny? Jeff Hyman was there, and he was standing right at the side of the stage against the exit door. And he had one foot up on the exit door. His hair was hanging down. And his chain was hanging down, and I'm looking at him, and I'm saying, Jeff looks like a question mark, right? And from that day on, I used to kid him. I used to say, you're a question mark. And that just stuck with us. Every time I saw him, you question mark. You know? But, yeah, we played that talent show, and you know who the drummer was? The drummer was Freddie Lefkowitz.
Oh,
who was Fred Smith in Fred Smith in television? Smith from television. Well, what happened was Scott Roberts, who was our drummer, he was still in Halsey Junior High School, and Halsey wouldn't let him come over because we were playing in the talent show during school hours. So we had to find a drummer, and I was taking guitar lessons from Freddie Lefkowitz. And I said to Freddie, I said, I need a drummer. You know anybody? He said, I'll drum for you. And and he became bass player for Television.
Wow. Halsey Junior High School. That's where I met Tommy. We were in the same classes together. I met Tommy driving bicycles around Forest Hills High School, and then we realized we were in the same junior high school together, Halsey Junior High School.
Well, you know, I met Tommy. He lived in my building.
Yeah.
So I lived on the second floor. He lived on the third floor. He was walking down the stairs. I was walking up the stairs, and I was carrying my guitar, right? And I was just coming back from guitar lessons. I was like 14 years old. He was 15. And he says to me, do you play guitar? I said, no, I just carry this around to impress the girls. And from that day on, we were like best friends. We would jam in each other's houses, and we finally created the Tiger Five.
Nice.
That was the precursor to the Tangerine Puppets.
Right. Well, I'm glad you called
in. Wow, this is amazing. We have other callers in the queue. I'd like to bring in, let me just see, I think we have David. David might be from Florida. Let's see what David has to say.
Hey, Monty.
Yes.
Read your book. I talked to you twice at two Ramones gigs, one in Tallahassee and one in Orlando, I believe. You're a great guy. I don't really have anything to say, but I fucking love the Ramones. They are my favorite ever band ever.
Thank you.
Teenage Lobotomy is on my, I'm playing it right now. It was. You're a nice guy. How was Johnny?
Well, he's like the general of the group, you know, very, very disciplined.
Yeah. He was a military guy, I understand.
Yeah.
He went to military school. Johnny seemed to be the guy that made the band be the band.
Yeah, he kept everything together pretty much. He had the rules and the... He actually wrote down every single show and what we made and how many people came and kept everybody, you know, pretty much together. And with certain, he had the rules and kept it tight, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you saw the Ramones in Florida. That's terrific.
They were tight. They were a fucking rock and roll band. I mean, a real one.
Yeah.
Thank you for talking to me. It's the third time we've spoken. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Okay,
my name is David Young. I'm from David Young and the Restless. I'm from Florida. The Ramones inspired me to be who I am. And I'm nobody, but they were somebody. Thank you. Bye.
I assume you have my book, right? Wow. Cool.
Well, we have another person in the queue. Wow, we have Spencer from New York.
Spencer from New York. Listen, Monty, it's so great to be on here. And, oh, my God, where do I start? I don't know. for people out there, I designed Road to Ruin. I designed Road to Ruin and End of the Century. And we interviewed Monty on our show. And I want to tell you people that that interview is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Archives Collection, which is very historical. And I don't know, Monty's book, I've got to plug that, On the Road with the Ramones. Okay. That's a great book. Anybody that wants to go to punk heaven has to buy this book if they don't have it already. And Monty, it's so great to be here. Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you a story for people out there. John Gillespie, the art director, told me he wanted my portfolio to be seen by the Ramones. So if I would go down to Irving Plaza, and that was a show, you know, Monty, was late at night, and I went down there, and I had my portfolio and some mob scene there. I said, this is not going to happen. And it was like they finished their gig, and I was on the balcony floor there, and they came up there totally, you know, Monty, they were totally wiped out. I mean, Dee Dee was leaning on the rail. They could hardly, they were exhausted. And I had my portfolio, and I showed it to them, and they didn't say anything. But later I found out from Marky that they really liked my design, which freaked me out totally. I never knew that. But you were the guy. I mean, you were next to so much I wish Marky could be on tonight, because you're the other guy. You're the other guy who's been on all their live tours, thousands. And it's just a pleasure to be on with you. You're like my brother, you know. I love you, guy.
Well, it's great talking to you, Spencer.
Wow, it's interesting. I wanted to know, Spencer, do you have any stories about, you know, conversations with Joey or any interactions directly with Joey?
Well, I'll tell you, a funny story at Sire was I walked into Sire's office, John Gillespie again, the art director, and he said, Spencer, Joey Ramone called up. They ask how you are. He says, Joey doesn't call up anybody at Sire. He asks how anybody is. And apparently, he knew I went to the dentist or something, and he wanted to know how I was. That was really intriguing to me. But I got along with Joey. Every once in a while, I meet Johnny. I had a good rapport with them, you know, even though I was sort of on the outside, Monty. You know, whenever I met them, I sort of, Dee Dee, I later did his hip-hop album, but even he, I had a rapport with, so I was glad about that because, you know, they were a very raucous group, right? Monty, they were... Monty, tell us about their demeanor.
That's one word.
I mean, they were crazy, right?
That's one word for them. We're raucous. That's a good one.
Yeah, they were raucous. Right? They were raucous, but they were... with me, they were good guys, but they were a great group. And what I remember is, man, how they played so fast, Monty. Tell us about that, how fast they played, right?
Oh, yeah, over the years, it got faster and faster. Actually, with Richie, they got really, really fast. And people were saying, what's going on here, you know? They come to the show, and it's like double the speed, you know? There was no nonsense. It was just play the song straight through, no chatting in between, no tuning, no chat, you know, just one song after another, straight through, you know? That's why they could play songs.
Let me ask you a question. Probably people want to know. Marky, when he auditioned, were there other drummers that auditioned besides Marky for the job?
No, Marky came along pretty quickly right after Tommy left. You know, he came in because he was a friend of the band from CBG. They knew about him, and he came in pretty fast. And it took him, Marky was a great drummer. He came for like Dust and it's terrific drummer, but Tommy had to work with him for like a month or so because Tommy developed that whole drumming style for the Ramones.
Mm-hmm.
And Marky had to sit behind him and watch him and just develop the whole style that Tommy invented just for the Ramones. It worked out very well.
Wow. Well, I want to tell you, I'm going to plug your book again, On the Road with the Ramones by Monty Melnick. You must get this book. The interviews in there are amazing, and it's one of my punk Bibles. You know that, Monty. Anyway, I want you to have a good night tonight, and I love you guys.
Well, Spencer, I can't thank you enough for dropping by, and you're absolutely right about Monty's book. I have it in my hand right now, and there's original photographs of the guys, and some of these photographs. I mean, I don't think they've ever been seen before. Some of them look like, you took with a regular old camera, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And Monty, my favorite stuff is the Rock and Roll High School movie that they did, because that was more my speed, you know, and filming all of that. You have a lot of inside stories about the filming of that movie. And I just love that movie. You know, when that girl says she's the number one fan, you know, I could totally relate to that. You know, I just thought it was great. And the book is really, the book is everything Ramones, you know.
Thank you. It's funny because I'm in touch a little bit with Clint Howard. You know, he played Eagle Bauer in the Clint Howard.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
I've been in touch with him, texting back and forth. He was just asking me the other day about, in between the shooting of Throckmorton High School, they weren't paid a lot to shoot the movie. So they had to do gigs outside, and they did a bunch of shows with Black Sabbath. And Clint remembers going to a show, and at that time, people were throwing stuff at the stage because they didn't know the Ramones at the time, you know.
Monty, tell us about the Phil Spector stories with that. He was crazy, right? Phil Spector.
That's one word for him, yeah. Well, yeah, it was an honor playing, you know. They felt they needed a producer to get them on the radio because they weren't being played on American radio at all. So they went through a couple different producers, but Spector came to see the band actually in 1977 at the Whiskey. He was really a fan from the beginning, way back then. There's a picture of him actually in my book. He's like wearing a cape. He's got a devil goatee on, and he was, you know, crazy looking at the time. But he came back and he said he wanted to work with the band in 77, and eventually Seymour got him to do the album. But he was, we didn't know how naive he was at the time dealing with him in the studio. And there was, a bunch of crazy stuff going on. You know, he had guns on him.
You know, mind you, these stories are incredible. There's someone else in the queue waiting to speak with you.
Yeah.
This is Mr. Okay. Lance Wilson calling from Texas.
Texas.
Yeah, Monty, come on. You know me. We've talked.
Okay. How are you doing there? Where in Texas are you again?
I'm in Dallas.
Okay. Good city.
I have your phone number, Monty. Come on. We've talked.
Okay.
Anyway,
okay.
It's all good. It's all good. Monty, as my new appointed spiritual guidance counselor, I could use some advice on something. And so I want you to chime in. So basically, Marky's coming to town in a couple weeks, and I'm on the fence as to whether or not I want to go. The reason I don't want to go has nothing to do with his talent or skills as a drummer, okay, to be clear.
Really?
The reason it pertains more to just how I don't like the way Marky is as a person. Let me give you a story. 2016, you know this, Bonnie, I'm in a Ramones tribute band, today, whatever. But I was in San Antonio, Marky was there for a horror convention, and I met him. So I had a couple of items for him to autograph. One was the Ramones tour poster I got at auction from you, the Lyceum, okay? And the other one was an autographed Ramones drum head, End of the Century, that was already signed, that had been previously signed by Joey, Johnny, Dee Dee, and Richie, okay? So, of course, he signs the poster. He says, you know, Marky Ramone, Hall of Famer, whatever. As he's signing the drum head, this is what pissed me off. He said, he informs me that he thinks that Joey's signature might be a forgery. Evidently, the other signatures, Johnny, Dee Dee, and Richie, those signatures are fine, but somehow he thinks that Joey's signature might be a forgery. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, well, if it's a forgery, why the hell would you ascribe your signature to it, aside from the fact that I'm paying you $40 to do so? You get what
okay.
I'm saying? I don't like the way that, like, I'll tell you another story. I met a guy 2 years ago here in Texas, New Braunfels. He used to be a drum tech for Marky, with Marky and the Intruders. And he told me the story. Marky found out that Richie was using SJC drums, the same drum kit that he uses today. And he was so upset about it that he made it a point to send a letter to SJC drums asking that they remove Richie from their list of, like, you know, professional artists who use their drum kits. And of course, SJC said, no, we don't do that. And Marky got all pissed and he said, well, I guess I'll go back to using Ludwig's. Like, what the heck? Look, if you think you're the best drummer,
well,
that's fine. I have no problem with that. But just show it on stage and just keep your mouth shut. That's my point.
Well, you know, Mark, it can be, you know, I was when the Ramones retired, 96, I managed Marky with George DeBose, who shot a lot of the covers for the Ramones, you know, album covers. George and I put Marky Ramone and Intruders out on the road. So I have a very good dealings with Marky over the years. And he and his group now, Marky Ramone Blitzkrieg, if you want to see Ramone's stuff, he does like 95% Ramone songs. They do a very good job. If you want to... He's like filling
I'm not saying he doesn't. It's just I don't like the attitude. I don't like the way he disses on anybody else. You know, like I don't like the way he disses on Richie. I don't like the way he disses on CJ. Even dissed on Tommy, who I heard that he once said that Tommy wasn't a real Ramone. I'm like, shut up.
Well, yeah, we gotta just pay no attention, basically. But anyway, we're celebrating Joey Ramone here. So enough of Marky. So go see.
Yeah,
the group is good. He's got a good group together. And if you want to hear Ramone songs, he's filling a need, basically, out there. But if you want any Ramone stuff, and he's the closest to hearing Ramones for a whole set. His
well, I think I do a pretty good Joey. I think I do a pretty good Joey Monty. I'm just saying.
I can hop on stage with him. Okay. Nice talking to you, man.
You too.
Well, thank you again, Lance. I actually just saw Marky Ramone in December in New York City, and it was phenomenal. I mean, the place was packed. I mean, you couldn't move left or right. He really drew a great crowd. And like you said, Monty, he does all Ramone songs. It was really incredible.
Yeah, he's out there, like, keeping the Ramones. People want to hear the Ramones, and there's a lot of Ramones cover bands out there. I think there's 1,000 of them out there. In fact, I have a... When my book was published 4 or 5 years ago in Italy, in Italian, they had a home festival, and it was a big festival, and they had several different stages, you know, different bands types. They had just one stage alone for Ramones cover bands all day long, just Ramones cover bands, one after the other.
That's incredible.
There's a million Ramones cover bands. But if you want to hear Ramones songs, go see Marky. He does a great job.
Yeah. But I think you and I were speaking recently that there's a big CBGB event that's happening in New York City on September 27th, which is kind of like a punk revival of many different people. I think Marky Ramone might be showing to that as well.
Yeah, he's on the list for that. Iggy, Marky, Lunatics, Jack White, I believe. A number of people. It's being advertised now. It's a whole day.
Yeah, I actually saw an article this morning from Rolling Stone that they had covered the event.
Yeah, it's been on the internet. It hit the internet. Yeah, definitely. That's September. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, it's amazing. And so I have a question regarding Joey Ramone for you.
Okay.
Out of all the years that you toured with Joey, you know, a lot of my friends tour. So there's so many times that we speak and they miss events, you know, because they're on the road, you know, big events, you know, they can't go to weddings or funerals or whatever. Do you remember any big events happening, like celebrating someone's birthday on the road, or, you know, if it was one of the guys' birthdays, did they have any kind of like hijinks with each other? Or did they have any kind of like celebrations or rituals around the time they were really touring?
Well, the funny part is they played a lot of hijinks on me, which was good, because if they did it on each other, I think they would have gotten annoyed and really bad moods if they started doing hijinks on each other. So they did a lot of crazy stuff on me, you know, like putting honey on my briefcase and doing crazy things with the radio in the van and trying to put the water over on the door when you walked in, you know. I caught that before I walked in. But they tried. I said, okay, do it for me. It's all right, you know. But, you know, they didn't do it against each other, really, you know.
Ah, well, that's good. Wow, I can imagine touring with them. My gosh. So were there any kind of birthday celebrations when you guys were on the road, or did they just try to ignore those things?
They ignored those things, basically.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow, that's cool. What's one of the most favorite things you remember about Joey?
His dedication to music. He listened to a lot of different bands, and was always on his time off, he'd have his own little shows. He'd try to get bands to that he liked to play the shows, you know, and be a part of getting these bands some notice, you know, which is nice. It was really good that he would take the time to look at new bands and up and coming bands and to try to help them out, you know.
Yeah, you know, you and I went to a Ramones event, I guess it was last summer. I think it may have been Sandy's birthday down at the Bowery Electric. And for the fans that don't know, there's actually a street sign called Joey Ramone, which is literally like right on the same side as Bowery Electric. Can you tell any story about how they dedicated that street sign right there on 2nd Avenue?
Yeah, Joey Ramone Place. It was right there. Terrific. Arturo and a bunch of people had a lot to do with it. They had a little celebration. Joey's mother was there, and Mickey Lee and a bunch of other people. And they had an unveiling of it, which there's like 1,000 people outside. So it was nice to have the street sign named after Joey. It's one of the most stolen signs in the city. people keep on stealing that one, you know?
Oh, really? And, wow, that's incredible. Yeah, I didn't realize people would even want to do that.
Yeah, there's a lot of signs. These signs are good. They steal them, you know. And there's another sign, actually, in front of Forest Hills High School. They named the street in front of Forest Hills High School Ramones Way.
Oh, that's terrific. Really cool. Wow.
Even though, like, Simon and Garfunkel went to that school, you know.
But that's incredible.
They got the street sign for Ramones Way in front of the Forest Hills High School. You know, I give tours sometimes in Queens, showing people there's where Tommy was born and Dee Dee grew up, and I mean Tommy grew up and Dee Dee grew up and Johnny grew up and the whole thing around Forest Hills, and the murals there, which is terrific. Have you seen the mural, Kat?
No, I actually have to get out there. Yeah, should really
have a
tour group. You should have a tour group in your city. You should take everyone around. People would probably pay for that.
Well,
but,
I've done
that's incredible.
I've done a couple of tours. Actually, somebody from Argentina and booked a van and a couple other things. And during the Ramones show in 2016 in the Queens Museum, they had a big Ramones show, which was terrific. And they actually hired a bus, and I was on the bus and took everybody around Queens and showed everybody where everybody grew up, you know.
Oh, wow. Well, if you could plan another one like that, I think that would be terrific. Even if they film something like that, you know, because there's fans all over the world. Not everybody can come to New York City, you know. And I just think it's so cool that you mentioned Forest Hills High School having, you know, the Ramones Way. And it's ironic that the movie that they were asked to be part of was part of a high school kind of story. It's, to me, so ironic. Isn't that incredible?
Well, there was a movement that people wanted to name Forest Hills High School Rock and Roll High School, but it went on for a little bit, but never got through. Also,
yeah, I can't imagine anyone approving that. Can you imagine that?
No. Good friend of mine, Rick Boghossian.
On a diploma, Monty. I graduated from Rock and Roll High School.
Oh, great, my gosh,
right?
That would be insane. Yeah. They tried to do it. They almost got it through. A good friend of mine, Rick Boghossian, did a food tour in Queens. And at the end of the food tour, I took the bus around and gave everybody a little tour of the mural and all the places they grew up in there. It was nice. There's another mural in Queens underneath the Long Island Railroad on the way to the Forest Hills Tennis Stadium where they have concerts now. And there's another Ramones mural there, which is amazing.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to do like a little tour for myself around this. But, you know, it's interesting before when you said while they were filming Rock and Roll High School that they were kind of, you know, opening for other, you know, for Black Sabbath and all that. when they were really touring, do you remember them forming a relationship with another band that maybe either opened for them or they opened for another band? Like, did they form any friendships with any particular bands?
Well, yeah, at the end, on the Lollapalooza tour, 96, it was Metallica, Soundgarden, Rancid, and the Ramones were down on the bill there. But when I put the Ramones on stage, all of a sudden I'm looking on the side of the stage and there's all these groups of Metallica, Soundgarden, Rancid, and they all came to them, to Ramones, saying, "We were kids, we love you guys." They're big fans, so they got very good relationships with people in Metallica and Rancid and Soundgarden. They're very good friends with them.
Oh, wow. That's cool. That's really great. I think we have Richard back. He's in the queue. He called me back. I guess he has more stories on Joey.
Okay.
Hi, is Richard there?
Hey, guys. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, I hear you back. Yeah, you have more stories on Joey.
Yeah. On Joey? Oh, boy. Let's see. But Joey, but you know, I was at the first Ramones show at CBGB's, and
by the way, that was August 31st, 1960. That was 50 years ago.
What is it?
31st. Yeah.
Yeah.
You were there for the first show
yesterday, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was there. I walked in. It was Tommy wanted me to come down. He wanted me to book the band because yeah, I was the talent agent at the time, and but I was doing rock and roll revival stuff, and I told him that I couldn't do it because everything I was doing was Chuck Berry and Little Richard and that type of stuff, but I walked in and. Joey was sitting at the bar, and I sat down next to him, and without even looking, he said, "What's up, Adler?" And I felt like he had eyes in the back of his head, because he never saw me walk in.
Yeah, those first shows were very, very rough,
What's that?
That those first shows, the early Ramones were very raw, and they were, not together. They were fighting, stopping.
Well, they were fighting on stage all the time.
Yeah, it was funny in the beginning before they got it together, It took them a while. They really rehearsed a lot,
Yeah. It was, I actually sat there laughing hysterically, and I'll tell you why. Here I am going to see a band where my guitar player is playing drums, right, from the Tangerine Puppets. My bass player is playing lead guitar, and the guy I know who is a drummer is now the lead singer. Nobody's playing the instruments that I know them to play. And, I taught Johnny how to play guitar. I don't know if you knew that. Right. But I used to give him weekly guitar lessons while we were in the Tangerine Puppets. And I used to go up to his house, and I would give him a lesson. And it was really frustrating because he couldn't do upstrokes. He can only do downstrokes. So I told him, don't try the upstrokes. Just keep doing the downstrokes. Who knew it was going to turn into a thing,
A big thing.
A big thing, really.
Yeah. His guitar was on the original one he played for most of the shows. Went on auction, sold for almost $1 million.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow, who bought it?
Not 100% sure. I think Linda might have it.
Oh, really? Wow. $1 million.
But originally, what happened was Daniel Ray, who produced a lot of Ramones albums and co-wrote a lot of Ramones songs. And when the band retired, Johnny said, "Oh, I'll sell you my guitar," and he threw out a crazy figure like $20,000. And Daniel said, "All right." He sold a couple of guitars and bought it, and he put it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it was there for a long time. And he decided, about 2 years ago, to put it up on auction. And boy, did that ever sell!
Oh, no kidding! Wow,
yeah,
that's amazing. That was the most, right?
Yeah. The white Moser, right,
oh,
wow. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Is it still in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
It was in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for a long time, and then Dana got it back and put it up in auction.
Do you know the Tangerine Puppets had their picture?
What was that? I'm sorry?
Yeah, the Tangerine Puppets had their photo in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's great. That's nice.
Monty, I think we have another person in the queue.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Rich, nice
of you
to call.
Good talking to you, Monty. All right, Tom.
Okay.
Take care,
thank
Monty.
You again, Rich.
Bye,
Monty, we have Judy from New Jersey on the line.
Hello, Judy. How are you?
Hi, Monty. How are you doing?
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I have a question. Since this is the month of celebrating Joey's birthday, have you ever considered writing a book exclusively just for Joey, just on Joey himself?
Well, I think Mickey's wrote a book about that.
Oh, okay.
I with Joey Ramone.
Yeah, well, you guys were very, very close, and you protected him a lot with fans, and when a lot of the fans were going crazy, and I know that you know Jerry very well, and I was just thinking that would be so nice if a book was written exclusively and solely upon Joey, because he was awesome, as we all know. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And
right.
your book On the Road with the Ramones, it's second to none. That is a book for every Ramones fan, and I wanted to include that on the call. It's just phenomenal.
Thank you very much.
The best. Yeah, I know you have a lot of other callers. I respect that. Try to get a book out for Joey.
A Joey book, yeah. All right.
Yeah, that would be so cool, really. And I just thought you would be paramount, Monty. You'd be the best, because you're the real deal for the Maroons, really. All of them, they could count on you for everything, keeping everything in line, and you're the man. You're it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Nice
yeah, the cornerstone. You're the cornerstone for the Ramones and always will remain that way. I had to include
Thank
that,
you.
Too.
Okay. What do we got next? Anything?
It sounds like Judy is a big fan of the Ramones. That's awesome.
Yeah. She is. She definitely is. Very nice. Very nice of her.
Wow,
thank you, Judy.
That's great.
I want to give a shout out to a good friend of mine, Rick Johnson, who was just on that Little Steven Underground boat tour.
Oh, he's on a cruise right now?
Well, he just got back today. And
that
was amazing. Lenny was there and the Damned. And I mean, he's going to see the Damned tonight in Florida. But, X was there and a lot of people. I'm going to try to get on that next year.
Yeah, I know that Steve Conte was playing on the Little Steven's Underground cruise. Yeah.
Yeah, the Dictators also.
Yeah, there's a lot of those cruises. They're fun. Yeah, that's cool.
What we got next?
I know. I don't know. They have to tell me when there's someone in the queue. So if anybody wants to call in, feel free to call in.
Give them the number.
Yeah, it's amazing. The number, yeah. I will give out the number again to call in the show. There's two different numbers
I have it here.
That they can call.
Hey, I got a toll-free 888-627-6008, and direct line is 323-744-4831. I'll say it again, toll-free 888-627-6008, and direct line 323-744-4831. Be happy to talk to anybody out there.
Yeah, it's great. You know, it's amazing how everyone has like a different thing to talk about with you. You know, I think it's really great. Going back to this book, though, you know, I know we mentioned it's on Amazon, but it's pretty incredible, though, because when you got together trying to put this book together, did you go back through any, you know, film footage or anything that you found? Like, is there a lot of you with the guys that's on YouTube? Or Because I know a lot of people over the years did a lot of filming. Did you, like, come across stuff that you didn't know was even out there?
Well, basically, when I was doing the book, it was more like for the book, print book, you know what I mean? So I had, luckily, I was able to save a lot of stuff. And I just put, after each tour, I'd get a bunch of, you know, stuff from the tour, itineraries, patches, and posters. I stuck it in a room. Luckily, I saved all that stuff in one room there. So Frank and I, we went into the room and went through the whole, you know, each thing that we felt was good, would be nice in the book. That's why my book is really different than other books, because the publisher let me put in like over 300 images in it, you know, posters and pictures and photos and tour passes and itineraries. And, you know, most books are like text, 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 some pictures in the middle, text, text, text. My book's like full of all the images, you know, images and posters and stuff like that, which makes it a very different type of experience, you know. And also the art director that was in charge of the book, you know, behind the type, behind the printing, the type and the words, he put like images behind. So it's a very colorful book. That's why it's a little more expensive, because it's
beautiful.
Print intensive. It's a print intensive, you know, very color intensive. And actually, I work with an English publisher.
Go ahead.
How the book came about was Joey put a solo album on Sanctuary Records. A good friend of mine, Kevin Patrick, got him the deal with Sanctuary Records, which is an English company. And I found out that they had a publishing company. So he brought me in, and I was dealing with the English publishing company for my first edition that came out. What we had to do was get all this stuff together, and I sent it to England. Then they photographed it and put it in the book and sent it back to me. I think I only lost one little butt.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah. They sent it to England, they photographed it, put it in a book, and sent it back to me. But I was lucky to say, who knew back then all this stuff was going to be so valuable, you know? Over the years, I've had like 14 different auctions of all the different stuff that I saved, you know? It's kind of like my pension.
Yeah, well, I have to mention something, because one of my friends, I asked one of my friends to call in, because he has a great story about his brother's band that was I think used to open for the Ramones, or was going to open for the Ramones. It was like a crazy scene. The name of the band was called the Schemers, and I think the guys were from Staten Island. And it was like some story about, I think one of the gigs they were going to play, but there was like a fight broke out or whatever. Him and his brother still have, just like you said, the posters, how you used to put up the posters against the pole to say, you know, who's showing or who's playing before social media, you know, like how many years ago, right? But it was the Schemas, and they were a local band, and they played at CBGB's, and I think they opened for the Ramones. Do you remember that band?
No, you know, a lot of times the Ramones
so
really weren't
bands,
around for the opening bands. We came late a lot of times, you know. They didn't want to see the opening band. So they did a little bit more time away, you know. We'd do a sound check, then leave, and then come back later on, you know what I mean? As late as possible to give them some rest in between, you know. So a lot of groups they didn't see. You know, on a lot of Palooza tours, hung around and watched all the bands, because they were major acts at the time. And a few other bands that were friends of theirs, you know. Degeneration with Jesse Malin, they were good friends with him. And a couple other groups. It was really amazing, you know.
Yeah, this would have been early on when they were doing their CBGB stuff, like really early on. It's amazing, though, like you said, you don't know why you hang on to some stuff, and it kind of paid off for you for hanging on to all that stuff. You just filled this book with all of it, which is awesome.
Yeah, because I almost threw a bunch of stuff away at an old girlfriend of mine, Shira, that said, you know, don't throw that stuff out. So I left it in the room, luckily, you know, because I was, you know, early on. I was, you know, going to get rid of a lot of stuff, because, you know, but luckily I held on to it. It was like, who knew, like the tour itinerary would be valuable. It went up for auction, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's amazing. So were you surprised with, like, you know, I know one of our callers talked about, you know, guitars going for sale and things like that. Were you surprised that certain things didn't go by on auction?
What was that?
Were you surprised that certain things that you thought would go on auction didn't?
Not meaning I put up when I went sold, or you know.
Oh wow!
Because the time I put up, the Ramones, you know, fairly big, you know, after they retired and
well,
a couple of them
big,
passed
yeah.
away,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, my cat. It's amazing now. It's like people say Stones, Beatles, Ramones in one sentence, and people are all over the world wearing Ramones shirts all here and there, you know.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I got to give a shout out to Arturo Vega also, who's a huge Ramones fan and one of the great artists also. And he was a lighting director and artistic director, and he developed the Ramones logo, which is on all those T-shirts all over the world. People come
yeah.
to me and say, hey, I was in Europe. I saw someone running around in a Ramones shirt, you know.
But you and I had spoken before in another interview, and you were telling me all about his space. He had a space very close downtown, and he was making T-shirts and hanging them by the rafters or something, right? Wasn't
well,
that
yeah.
like
yeah.
he was trying to mass-produce all these T-shirts?
Well, he had 66 East 2nd Street, right up the block from where Joey Ramone's sign is, you know? Actually, Joey and Dee Dee lived at Arturo's house for a little bit in the early years. So he knew the band way back before they were even anything, you know. And when they first started touring, they wanted to bring him on the road, but they couldn't really afford to bring Arturo on the road. So they said, why don't you, you know, make some T-shirts and sell them, and that'll pay your way. So that's how it got started. He had a nice little
oh,
loft
wow.
there so he could you know, print the shirts and hang them up on the pipes in the loft. And he printed the first shirts and sold them on the road and made some money. And then he got eventually into the whole T-shirt business there. I wish I got a piece of that because there was some big money on the T-shirts, you know?
Yeah,
that's
so there's some, Monty, I'm sure some of the fans may or may not know, but there's a whole story about the logo. Wasn't that inspired by Johnny, how he wanted it to look like the crest or the governmental crest?
Well, actually, Arturo, they were in Washington, D.C. touring early on, and Arturo saw the Great Seal of the United States with the eagle, and he said, wow, this is interesting. And he was an artist, basically, before, you know, he became lighting director and artistic director of the Ramones. And he saw the Great Seal of the United States and developed the whole thing with that seal and put the Ramones names around the circumference, which is brilliant idea because they can plug and play with whoever's in the group at the time, you know, around the, and he had the eagle holding a baseball bat, which Johnny, you know, liked baseball and is American, and the eagle is holding an olive branch, but they put an apple branch in the other leg that the eagle is holding. So Arturo really developed that whole logo from the United States Seal he saw in Washington, D.C. One day they were touring. It's incredible. And that's like an iconic thing now. And in the, it usually the eagle was holding a bat that said, E pluribus unum. But he changed that to, first it was look out below, and then he changed it to hey ho, let's go, that the eagle's holding in his mouth.
Yes. Well, that hey ho, let's go was literally echoing when I went to see Marky in December. You know, when we walked in there, people started chanting it. They were chanting it until we were walking out the door. I mean, that is their signature expression, you know? It's incredible.
Well, you know, it's funny. That's like on Jock Rock albums now, because you go to any sporting event, and they'll play, hey, oh, let's go for the team, you know? So who knew that the Ramones are going to get on a Jock Rock album, and it's the chance.
So, Monty,
you know?
We have another person in the queue. We have
oh,
Ashley from Texas.
Hi.
Wow. Hello, Ashley.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm in Texas, Austin area.
Oh, great city. Love Austin. Barton Springs.
Yeah, it's cool.
Go ahead.
I've I've only like recently gotten into the Ramones, like less than a year ago, but I've just been hooked. And it's so cool to learn and listen to all their albums. And I'm definitely going to get your book. I haven't gotten it yet, but I'm sure there's lots of fun stories in there.
Oh, nice
to hear. Ashley, you're going to have to watch Rock and Roll High School, the movie.
I have. It's a great movie. I love it.
Oh, you saw it. Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
So do you have a question for Monty about Joey Ramone?
It's not particularly about Joey. It does involve him. I saw an interview where he's talking about Youngstown, where you guys ran into Steve Bader's. Do you remember that?
Yes. That's an interesting.
Could you tell
story.
Me about that? It's a really funny story.
They were, you know, the Dead Boys were big fans of the Ramones. They grew up in Ohio there, and I think they played opened up for the Ramones. And like after the show, we got in the van and started driving up the highway, and 60 miles an hour we're driving. All of a sudden, this car pulls alongside of us. Steve Bader's close on top of the car and moons the band.
Mm-hmm.
We're going down the highway 60 miles an hour, and he's on top of the car, pulled down his pants and mooned the Ramones. He was a crazy guy.
He was a crazy guy.
John Markovich is from Youngstown, Ohio. Do you have a favorite Ramones song?
It's a very hard question. Maybe I Want to Be Well. I've recently learned it on guitar.
Oh, okay. I love Austin. That was where Willie Nelson had his club there, the Armadillo. We played there many times. I don't probably not around anymore, but I loved coming to Austin. Barton Springs. On a hot day, that's the best place to go swimming. I took Joey there.
Oh, wow. Did he like swimming?
Yeah, you know, and in later years, he always wanted me to book a hotel with a pool in it. So he'd loosen up in the pool. It helped him a lot with his voice. It was very good.
That's fun.
Okay.
Yeah, Austin's cool.
Well, thanks for calling in. It was nice talking to you.
Yeah. Thanks for answering my question.
Ashley's probably going to have to get your book now, Monty.
Right.
Yeah, I will.
Wow, well, thanks for calling in. Wow,
right.
Texas is representing, huh? We had a couple of calls from Texas. We had a call from Florida, New York. Wow, it's interesting. I know. We only have an hour, so we'll have to see how long we can go until they cut us off.
How much longer do you think we have?
I don't know, until they cut us off, I guess. So what would you like to tell the audience about Joey, since we're celebrating his birthday and remembering his life and his impact on the music world?
Well, you know, I developed a very good relationship because my girlfriend at the time, Camille, her sister was Angela, so we went to a lot of events together, and I was very close to his mother, Charlotte, and Nikki. You know, he grew up in Forest Hills also, and I spent a lot of, you know, Thanksgivings and Christmases at the Charlotte's house and stuff like that. He was as I said, he was into music and loved different bands. He had a love for music. He played a couple of shows at the Continental, Triggers Club.
Wow.
There on Second Avenue. And
so, Monty, we have 5 minutes left, and we have Spencer back in the queue. So we'll finish up with Spencer. Spencer, you've joined us again.
Kathy, one of my favorites, Kathy and Monty. Hey, listen, one thing I want to mention about Monty's book so people know about, the updated version, which you did, Monty, was really smart. You have all the studio album covers in there in the proper order. Tell us about that. That's a very good info thing for people to see in the book.
Well, yeah, I wanted it. On the bonus edition, I added 40 more pages, so I figured I'd put in all the studio albums. So I list all the people that produced it and people that worked on the covers. Spencer.
Yeah, like me. I love it. But it's really a smart thing you did, Monty. That's a really good thing to
do.
You know?
And all the covers. In fact, the last cover, Adios Amigos, was my favorite back cover of Adios Amigos. You know why, Spencer, right?
Let me see. Wait a minute. Is
the
that
back
with
cover of Adios Amigos?
Is that Marcus Stabby artwork?
That's where the there are. That's a fake firing squad on the
right.
back cover. And then at that time, you know, Arturo was a Mexican, but he wasn't at the photo shoot that George DeBose shot. So if you look at the back cover of Adios Amigos, that's me. I'm the Mexican guy on the bottom of the back of the album cover.
That's great. DeBose, and also, the second thing is the last thing. The cover that I worked on, End of the Century, is interesting because there's no leather jackets, right? Just T-shirts.
Yeah, they didn't like
new image,
that too
right?
much.
What?
Yeah, they initially didn't like not having their jackets on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They fought a bit, but they actually put it out. That was Mick Rock, right?
Mick Rock, the famous Mick Rock, yeah.
And he actually shot them with the jackets. He used that for one of the.
He sends me pictures with the jackets and without. And I said, "Oh my God, the T-shirts! What a great shot!" But I didn't, you know, I didn't think about it. But then the leather jacket shot I used on the inner sleeve and converted to a high conversion on an orange background. And you know what? They ended up using that image, as you know, for the 45s. Marky on Marky's show when he interviewed me on Sirius, he said they took a vote or something. I don't know. The T-shirt one went in, but it was the image that the record label wanted, a more commercial image,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, initially they didn't like it, some of them, you know, but then the record company pushed it through and they went through with it.
Yeah, of course. And it's historic. The photograph is historic, Monty. You know, it really is.
Yeah. That's my favorite album, because it has my favorite Ramon song on it, on the End of the Century.
You're
you know, which
it.
Is the one that yeah, the All the Way.
Yeah.
Joey mentioned me, Monty's driving me crazy. It's like being in the Navy. So,
you know who loves, Jesse Malin loves rock and roll radio. Jesse Malin.
Ah, yeah, Jesse. Degeneration. I work with Degeneration after the Ramones, so we retired a little bit.
Yeah.
Jesse's great.
Great album. Hey, thanks a lot, man. You have a good whatever.
Yeah.
Kathy, I love you, dear. You're great.
Yeah,
well,
I love you too, Spencer. Wow, you guys are just rock and roll history here, right here in New York City, right on the phone. That's amazing. Yeah, you guys are great. This is historic conversation.
Kathy, yeah, Kathy, you have a great show. I love your show. You have a really good
absolutely.
Thank you so
like
much. Yeah, well, I'm just glad Monty was able to do this so we could celebrate Joey Ramone and remember his life and his birthday and all the impact of the music in New York City.
Absolutely.
Good night, guys.
Good night. Thank you, Spencer. Well, Monty, this has been some hour. Just flew by.
Oh, boy. And your show's Bringing the Darkness to the Light, right? Is that it?
Yes. My radio show is Bringing the Darkness to the Light. And
great
it's
show.
A weekly show on Thursdays. Yeah. But this has been wonderful. Wonderful. And it's pre-recorded. I mean, it's live. But we're going to capture the recording and we'll be able to have that and, you know, have it for replay for those that haven't had the chance to call in tonight.
Excellent. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Well, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be on the radio with you, Monty.
All righty. So
you're On the Road with the Ramones is available on Amazon.
Bonus edition, covered by John Holmes. And I just want to say hello to all the Ramones fans out there. Hey ho, let's go. Gobba gobba hey. Don't forget to do Joey Ramone Foundation for Lymphoma Research, lymphoma.org. And let's keep it going.
Yes. Thank you again. This has been a great show, Monty. Thank you for taking the time. And as always, keeping the Ramones alive and well in New York City and around the world.
All righty.